Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your patience in holding. We now have our speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of today's presentation, we will open the floor for questions. Instructions will be given at that time on the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn this call over to Mary McGinty, Vice President of Communication and Public Affairs at the National Retail Federation. You may go ahead and begin.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the National Retail Federation's 2019 holiday sales forecast. Today, we will hear from NRF President and CEO Matthew Shea and NRF Chief Economist Jack Kleinhens. To kick things off, let's go to Matt to discuss our holiday sales forecast. Matt, what can you tell us about expectations for holiday sales growth this year?
Thanks, Mary. Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for joining us, being here this morning. And I know some of you have seen the numbers already. I know you're all waiting to hear them, so we should get right to the news and talk about the forecast, and then we can get into a conversation about some of the factors that that go into our decision. But we obviously have been looking at all of these variables throughout the course of this year that impact economic growth in the retail industry, and we have fairly confident conclusions about what's going to happen for the rest of this year. And based on all that, we're forecasting that 2019 holiday retail sales are going to grow between 3.8% and 4.2% compared to 2018. And that works out to something in the range of approximately $27 billion to $730 billion for the season. So very positive. We see momentum amid some of the uncertainty out there, but overall a strong season. And it's a strong one, a strong forecast, I think, despite all that uncertainty. It's certainly well above the unusually low growth we saw last year, which was in the low 2% range. And that, of course, as you'll recall, came in the midst of a number of other factors, including, of course, maybe most notably, the government shutdown, the Federal Reserve's decision to raise interest rates, and the very initial stages, relatively speaking, of the debate about tariffs and the trade war. This forecast also beats the average 3.7% increase that we have seen each year during the course of the last 5 years. So overall, positive momentum in the economy, a strong forecast, better than last year, and continuing momentum in the economy. In terms of the methodology, and I'll touch on this a little bit, and then when you talk to Jack in a moment, he can get into a deeper conversation about the variables. But we look, obviously, at a wide range of factors throughout the year, close to two dozen different variables that go into this forecast. That's been the basis of our methodology for many years. And for purposes of the NRF forecast, our vision is the holiday season is November 1 through December 31st. So that's our 60-day snapshot. And as we note in the press release, you've all seen by now, we exclude sales at auto dealers, gas stations, and restaurants because, based on our methodology, those are not core retail sales. The numbers do, of course, include online and other non-store sales, and we expect that component to be up between 11 and 14%. For a total of between almost $163 billion, and close to $177 billion. And that is up substantially from last year's $146 billion. We recognize and understand that that not all retailers break out these numbers, but we present them there for your general information. I think also based on our forecast and what we know, this represents approximately 20% of the overall retail sales activity for this holiday season. So it's growing and it's substantial. Throughout the course of the year, that number is closer to 10% of overall retail sales. So just to give you perspective, I think really a contemporary view of retail, and we continue to talk to the CEOs on our board and other senior executives. And in fact, we've got an event with a number of representatives of the analyst community coming up in a few weeks in New York. And one of the ongoing discussions is whether it even makes sense to break this out anymore, because retailers really look at this as a holistic way to engage with their consumer. And that's never more important than at the holiday season, which is fundamental to the success of many of the companies that we represent and who are part of this industry. So at the end of the day, customer engagement is the key metric, and that can be achieved in a number of ways. And really, I think the world is becoming increasingly agnostic as to whether that's in-store, online, buy online, pick up in-store. It continues to blend and converge, and that'll accelerate this holiday season. In terms of the specifics of how we put these numbers together, again, Jack can elaborate on some of this. It is a sophisticated economic model that considers a variety of government and academic data, of various indicators, including employment and housing and credit and consumer confidence, average hourly earnings. There's a whole range of factors that go into this. But in broad terms, again, this is based on our belief, and I think other measures of economic activity in the U.S. right now would bear this out, that the fundamentals underlying the economy are strong. And those strong underlying fundamentals, again, low unemployment, growing wages, consumer confidence, which sometimes moves a little bit sideways, but overall positive relative to historic norms, that all of that's going to continue to provide a great deal of momentum, and that's going to continue through the third and into the fourth and the very important final quarter, which, of course, includes the holiday season. It is, I think, relative to last year on a year-over-year, not necessarily the holiday season, but just based on the entire year, it's a little more difficult to compare this year with last year, or sustain the really impressive growth that the economy enjoyed on a sort of overall macro basis last year. Obviously, we saw GDP up near 3%, and this year I think most forecasts are it's going to be somewhere in the lower twos. So the economy is not growing quite as fast as it did last year, but it's certainly still growing. And as I said a minute ago, the favorable job growth, the low unemployment rate, the continued growth in wages, consumer confidence, which does vary from month to month, but overall very high, combined with the factors that work in the labor market, I think are all very positive. And I think that's mirrored by the public comments you've heard from many retail companies, and certainly has been reinforced in the conversations that I've had, that we've had with retail company CEOs and other senior executives at companies across the industry in various segments in all shapes and sizes. And, of course, I think that all contributes to the fact that retail sales have been very positive this year. The three-month moving average was up a little more than 4%, 4.1% as of August. Retail sales during the first 8 months of the year were up 3.6%, even with and including the challenges that we saw during the first quarter of this year. So overall, our view is that the economy is continuing its growth. Consumer spending is still the primary engine behind that growth. We can't, of course, ignore, and we obviously mention in the release, and this bears itself out in the economic data that contributes to the forecast, that there's clearly been a bit of a slowdown brought on by the uncertainty around a number of issues. And those include, of course, most notably trade, to various other extents, interest rates, global risk factors that are out of our control the general political discourse and rhetoric here in Washington and around the world. And I think this is what we continue to see and we hear from our members and from the executives we speak to, that the uncertainty around those issues has really been, in many ways, the overarching theme of the economy this year, while we continue to see this tremendous growth. And as I noted, I think the biggest news and the uncertainty is related to trade issues in a broad sense, maybe in many ways more specifically to the approach on our conversations with our trading partners in China, and specifically the imposition of goods imported from China. Some of those goods have already been impacted by tariffs over the course of the last year. As this began last summer and last fall, we started with the so-called Tranche 1, Tranche 2, and into this year, Tranche 3, and were able to successfully persuade the administration and leaders to avoid the imposition of tariffs on a broad range of goods that are purchased for consumption by consumers in the U.S., and again, ranging from apparel to footwear to electronics and a variety of other things. As we get further into this final quarter of this calendar year, some of those tariffs have already taken effect. Others are intended to take effect later this year. And based on that, we expect that by the end of this calendar year, virtually everything imported from China, whether it's a capital good or an input, or whether it's a finished product for resale to a consumer, is going to be subject to tariffs of one degree or another. And that's an uncertainty that makes it difficult to do forward planning, and it's certainly having an impact one way or another, although thus far it has not shown up in a dramatic way in the prices for consumers. That's why we think that the impact of those tariffs on the holiday season really remains to be seen. And retailers really are adopting a myriad of approaches to trying to address this issue, and had this conversation with many, many executives as recently as yesterday and this morning about different approaches that they're taking based on the segment of the market in which they operate, the size and scale and sophistication of their business, the relationship with their suppliers, their customer base. So there's not a single approach other than, I think, a consensus that none of these retailers want to pass on any cost to consumers if they can avoid it. And I think the vast majority of them still see running room and growth opportunity in this economy, and none want to jeopardize that, and all are hoping that we're going to find a constructive way to address these issues and resolve our trade disputes and move forward. The question about whether consumers feel this versus whether they are aware of this is an interesting one, and while depending on the basket of goods that you look at, it's not easy to draw a straight line between tariffs and consumer prices, it's certainly true that increasing numbers of consumers are becoming aware of this simply because of the rhetoric around this issue. And we are regularly in the field interviewing consumers and asking them a wide range of questions. And our most recent field research results indicate that up to 8 in 10 consumers who have been surveyed are now concerned about the impact of tariffs on prices, without regard to whether they've felt them yet. And that concern could certainly impact whether or not their confidence remains stable and therefore, the future growth trajectory of the economy. But at this point, consumers are in very good financial shape for all the reasons I mentioned. Retailers expect a strong holiday season, and we expect that confidence and hope that confidence will continue, and don't want to see it eroded by deterioration of the issues that are creating the uncertainty in the marketplace. And you know, those are certainly issues that need to be addressed, and we believe the trade relationship is fundamental to the success of our economy, but that we don't want to let it jeopardize what we see as a lot of positive signals. So I think that is our view. I guess I would turn now to our chief economist, Jack Kleinhans, and Jack can give you some more color and insight into the numbers, our expectations for the forecast, and elaborate on any of the points I've made. So, Jack, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Matt. I just put a backdrop against some of this conversation. You know, we are in uncharted territory in many ways. We have never been in a 124-month expansion, and that in itself is an achievement. And against that backdrop, we certainly have had a year of very few precedents for the uncertain macroeconomic environment, which causes us to be juggling many moving parts, and they become distractions, whether they're geopolitical events, the yield curves, Fed moves, tweets, trade tensions, talks of recession, Brexit, and along with these factors, certainly new concerns that we get day to day, which would have included the field attack on Saudi Arabia. And amid all this information and financial market volatility that the household is actually trying to absorb, as you said, Matt, I believe that the household is in really relatively good shape. As mentioned previously, wages look healthy. Inflation is modest. Debt burdens are low and well managed. Disposable income has been relatively stable, and I'm talking about nominal disposable income in the 4.5% range for the last few months. And that's been a key ticket in terms of looking forward. As long as employment continues and we have some wage growth, I think that the consumers will be confident about spending. And in terms of confidence, it's really one of those issues that we're trying to discern the changing moods, and it's difficult at times to separate the signal from the noise. For example, the University of Michigan's survey tells us consumers are relatively optimistic, and their numbers kind of look somewhat stable in the last report, and yet the Conference Board showed a different trajectory, a drop, but I guess put it in a context, it remains elevated. And actually, reading through that data, you see that the perceptions of job prospects and personal finances remain fairly positive. Savings rate, for instance, is encouraging also at 8-some percent. And at this stage of the business cycle, that's also unusual. I think consumers still feel very good with money in their pockets, in their wallets. And on top of this, we've seen a drop in gasoline prices. That should be positive for the holiday season. And so I know I've been sort of in generality talking about these factors, but I think these factors are fundamental to how the economy is performing. We recognize the trajectory of the economy has changed a bit. It's still positive. And not knowing what's in front of us, I think both the consumers have the ability to spend and the willingness to spend, and I think that underpins our forecast for this year's holiday season.
Thank you, Jack. We will now open the line for any questions. Chantel, if you wouldn't mind providing our listeners with instructions on how they can get in the queue.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question.
Thank you, Chantel. And Matt, while we wait for questions to tee up, you recently met with global retail leaders at Paris Retail Week, and the NRF Executive Committee is getting together in a few weeks. What are you hearing from CEOs on their views of the overall state of the consumer economy?
I think most of what I'm hearing would track pretty closely with what we're saying in our forecast. And that is that that the overall economic conditions are good. The consumers remain in a very healthy place, and that they continue to be engaged and are responsive to the innovations that retailers are delivering. I don't think we should suggest that this doesn't require an enormous commitment and investments on the part of retailers to adapt to the transformation taking place in the industry and in terms of consumer expectations. It does. And that is why I think we continue to see, in some ways, some separation in terms of the performance of companies. And you've got, high performers and low performers probably in every segment in the marketplace. And those that have made the right investments and are thinking the right way about consumer engagement are performing at a high level. And so I think in that regard, it's very encouraging because it demonstrates that while it remains competitive, there's an opportunity to be successful in this environment, regardless of the segment in which you operate or the scale of your business. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it clearly can be done. I think somewhat surprisingly, maybe counterintuitively, leaders outside the United States of retail businesses look at the United States, and this market is the envy of the rest of the U.S. It is certainly true that virtually every other market would trade the growth that we're experiencing here and the fundamentals of our economy for those of any other market anywhere else in the world. So, I think we have to balance that against our own views, about sometimes the challenges that we face. In relative terms, we are in very, very good shape. We think there's opportunity to do better. We think there's an opportunity to remove some of the uncertainty that exists by making the right kind of policy decisions going forward. But relative to the world, the U.S. economy remains very, very strong.
Great. Okay, Chantel, I think we're prepared for the first question.
Thank you. Our first question will come from Sarah Nassauer, Wall Street Journal.
Hi, Sarah.
Good morning. Sorry, I had it on mute there. As we've seen the last few years, there certainly is a theme of winners and losers when it comes to retailers these days and folks that are navigating through some of these changes and folks that are not. What are you hearing from some of your members? Is there anything new that some of the folks that are struggling, you don't have to name names, you think are going to try this year to use, the demand curve of the holidays to do better? What are sort of the techniques and approaches that you're hearing about? Thanks.
No, sure. Thank you. It's a great question. And really, and it's sort of as I alluded to a minute ago, that is the question of the moment, because it is getting a little more challenging out there for a variety of reasons. And so it's not as if, we're seeing 100% or universal growth across every single channel. So there continues to be a sorting based on kind of the best practices and the real strategic investments that are being made. I guess I would put it this way. In terms of taking a longer view on this, I had a conversation with the CEO of one of the largest public traded companies in the U.S., or a retail company, and I said, as the environment evolves and changes, and it's getting harder, how do you attribute the success of your business to proportionally either the overall strength of the consumer or because of the investments that you've been making in various new ways to engage with consumers? And he said, that's a conversation we have all the time, but many of the things we're investing in are things we did 2, 3, 4, even 5 years ago that have taken time to bring to scale, and that's been the key to our success. And I think those go in the category of consumer engagement, convenience, delivery, shipping, packaging. It's basically a lot of this is being played in the areas of supply chain efficiencies, fulfillment, convenience for consumers, thinking about, and we talk about frequently, the blending of the physical and the digital in a way that is seamless for consumers and really facilitates both something that's a win for the consumer, but also a win for the retailer. So if you think of something like buy online, pick up in store, that's a win for the consumer, but it's, of course, a huge win for the retailer to use the store as a point of distribution. And that is definitely one of the ways in which we are seeing people do that. And I guess, you know, an extension of that for those in the business of bricks and mortar is the in-store experience and continuing that journey of evolving the way in which you walk into a store and are engaged through a variety of new technologies or service or convenience that improve the experience overall.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Ann D'Enzio from Associated Press.
Hi, in terms of the, you know, these escalating talks of impeachment, how do you think that will affect shoppers? You know, maybe a lot of distraction, right? I mean, a lot of times people get distracted, watch TV, not thinking about shopping. How are your members thinking about this as they're planning holiday, you know, TV ads and things like that?
Well, you know, Ian, I think on that one, we talked about the theme for this year being some of the uncertainty that exists out there, both for retailers and for consumers, and the kinds of things that can be distractions. And so I guess I would say initially that in terms of addressing some of the uncertainty that exists, there's the uncertainty that is outside of your control, and there's the uncertainty that can be controlled to a certain extent. And the outside of your control would be what's happening outside the United States, what's happening with something like Brexit, what's happening in Hong Kong and in China, internal political issues, global issues that are uncertainties, what's going to happen with interest rates. Those are things that are outside the control of retailers and consumers in the U.S. The things that are controllable, of course, are policy decisions that get made in Washington that we think would strengthen consumer confidence and send positive signals to the market generally and to our partners around the world. And those would be things like, let's pass the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Free Trade Agreement, the renewed NAFTA. Let's get that done. Let's get the administration and their trade negotiators back together in a constructive way with their counterparts in China. And we've seen some green shoots there and some positive signals. Those are the kinds of things that could be done. I know infrastructure investment and some of the workforce development things that we've talked about and the administration and the Congress are working on are maybe further down the road. But without regard to the partisan politics that goes on and without taking a position on any of that, because that's not our space.
Right.
I think the Congress and the administration could send positive signals to the market and to consumers by doing something fundamentally important to the economy, like let's pass the U.S.-Canada-Mexico agreement. It's our view that both parties, both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, share a vision that there is a very strong set of reasons to pass the U.S.-Canada-Mexico agreement, and they should do that, and they should try to move beyond their political disagreements and agree on something that we know is good for the economy, and that would send a really positive signal. So I think focusing on the controllable issues from a policy perspective would be very, very good for consumers. And, you know, we had distractions last year. We had them in 2012 when we had the fiscal cliff. I mean, we've had them from time to time. Mm-hmm. We've had government shutdowns. We've had interest rate hikes. So those things can't be controlled, and so the partisan politics is out of the control of both consumers and retailers. We're trying to focus on the things that can be controlled and encourage Congress to move in that direction with the administration.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Nathaniel Meyerson, CNN.
Hey, guys. I think just to add to Sarah's question, what do you, I mean, where do you think that this spending is going to go? What are the retailers, what are they doing right, where they'll get this spending?
So, Nathaniel, I guess I'd say this. Historically, we're going to be out in the field talking to consumers again with a survey soon, and we'll be doing more of that throughout the course of the holiday season as we get closer. Historically, I would say on a category basis, consumers find the following categories enormously popular. They go to discount stores. They go to department stores. They go to electronics stores. They're going to apparel stores. They're buying gift cards. They're buying electronics. They're buying toys. There's a wide variety of categories and segments that are going to be heavily trafficked this year. And in those segments and in those categories are going to be certain products. They may be very, very popular. And they fall in many ways in the same kinds of categories from one year to the next, although the specific items in those categories change in terms of products. But there's some consistency over time to the segments, again, discount, department, electronics, and those are all going to be popular again this year. We'll know more when we do the survey when consumers tell us what their expectations are for the year. So at the moment, we're forecasting overall sales. So this is the forecast component based on the economic indicators that are part of the model. But there will be a survey that will give us consumer insight, and that will be out later this month and then into next month as we go forward with our conversations on the survey instruments.
Cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Doug Palmer, Politico.
Hi. Thanks for doing the call. I guess I'm most interested in the stuff that you were saying about the impact of the China tariffs and saying that consumers aren't really feeling them yet, but are increasingly concerned. I mean, I guess against that context, against that background, are you having any conversations with the administration about the tariffs that are expected to go in force in December, in terms of urging them, maybe not to go forward with that plan at all? And are you getting any positive feedback on that? And then I guess, what about consumer sales in 2020? If these tariffs are around, do you expect maybe they'll start to have more of an impact then?
Yeah, Doug. So I guess what I would say is that we have been engaged in conversations with the administration through the normal administrative process of talking to the U.S. Trade Representative, Ambassador Lighthizer, and making our concerns known, going all the way back to last year, submitting statements, testifying at every step of the way, as have hundreds of our member companies. We've also, of course, had conversations with Secretary Ross and Secretary Mnuchin and, with the administration directly, to communicate our concerns. And, I think it's fair to say that the decision the administration made in August to sort of bifurcate the imposition of tariffs on some consumer goods, so-called tranche 4, and split some of that from September 1 to December 15th, you had high-level representatives of the administration say then, when asked, why are you doing this, They said, we don't want to jeopardize, they said Christmas. I think they meant we don't want to jeopardize the holiday season. We don't want to impact consumer spending. So it was clear to us both that part of the message we're delivering resonated with them and that they recognize what we all recognize, which is that sooner or later, the pigeons come home to roost on this if they go forward with all of it. Now, having said all that, I would also say that while consumers have not seen in a direct way that straight line that I mentioned a minute ago, it's hard to draw a straight line between the tariffs, although they're not all fully imposed on all goods, to prices that consumers pay when they purchase these items, it is not true to say that what's happened thus far is not without cost. It's been with enormous cost and friction in the economy and impact on commerce. It hasn't necessarily shown up in consumer pricing, but there is a real cost to what we've done in terms of imposition of tariffs for every step of the way. On all the goods, input goods, capital goods, everything. And it's just not, it's been buried, right? It's either been forced to be eaten by the supplier or forced to be eaten by the manufacturer, or it's been experienced by the farmer that has foregone sales in a market that used to be very lucrative. So there are real costs, and they might not show up yet in the pricing that consumers are experiencing, and that's because of the, I think, the creativity and the resourcefulness and the commitment of retailers, at least in our case, to not pass those increases along to their consumers and to find creative ways to address that, whether that means taking a hit on margin, forcing it onto a supplier, spreading it across other goods. People are finding a way to do it, and the question is, for how long can they do it? And I think, you know, a little bit of what's been going on here is that there's been a calculus made that in the face of a strong and growing economy, you can sacrifice a little bit by imposing tariffs because the economy can sustain it. And the question is ultimately going to be, how long can an economy sustain this if you go forward? And I think that's the question that has to be answered. Right now, it's a calculus that that the administration's made that achieving a political objective, which is a laudable one and we agree with, which is restructuring the trade relationship with China, that is worth the price of the imposition of tariffs. We don't agree that's the appropriate tactic. We think using the normal channels, for example, the WTO, which recently rendered a decision on a long-running case, we think going through the normal international collaborative multinational channels is the way to pursue this, not on a unilateral basis. So we agree with the objective. We don't agree with the tactic. We've communicated that from the beginning. We continue to have that conversation, and we will continue to have that conversation.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Jordan Holman, Bloomberg News.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. So with NRF expecting that retailers will hire about 530,000 temporary workers, and that estimate, the low end of the estimate being down from 2018, is that a sign of an e-commerce boost and less reliance that retailers have on store associates, or what factors are you seeing for that lower number this year?
Jack, you want
to? Sure. Well, we have to recognize that we actually have one hand tied behind our back when it comes to these numbers. This is using the BLS numbers on retail employment. And the fact of the matter is many of our retailers have shifted their employment to warehouse, transportation, and distribution. So while you might be seeing a downshift from a couple of years ago, it's not to say that the real true employment direction is the same. As I pointed out, there has been this shift for the warehouse distribution. There's been a lot of growth in that area. So what we're seeing in this data that I presented and I have forecast is this really pretty much the same idea, well, where we were last year, and that one of the issues I'd like to point out also is, like other industries, it has been a challenge to attract individuals because of the tight labor market. In fact, the JOLTS data that was released about 4 weeks ago showed that there was still 900,000 openings in the retail sector, and we had hired 780,000 or so. So this gap of 100,000, and this gap has been that way since last year, and we had, you know, this development where the market, the tight labor market, and I think so you have to infer from the statistics that it'll be important for retailers, and they're hiring right now. There is announcements out. A lot of the hiring occurs, and the openings are posted in September and October. So I think this is a realistic estimate of what we'll be seeing for this year.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Bill Mungalezzo, Journal of Commerce.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Thank you for that excellent analysis. I'm interested in the timing of the containerized imports this year. According to your global port tracker that came out last month, it looks like October is supposed to be down year over year, the imports, but November up quite a bit, almost 10%. So November is usually considered too late to bring in your holiday gifts. You're going to get them on the store shelves by Black Friday. So what do you think is going to be coming in to the country in November? Is it going to be just replenishing of inventories or what?
Yeah, I guess what we see, the normal course is that August and September, you know, through the summer and into the early fall, are the very big months for the imports of holiday inventory. Much of what's coming in November of 2020 is going to be for, or in November of 2019 is going to be for 2020, early next year, but also some replenishment of goods. And I think, you know, this is part of the compression of the supply chain. People are looking at the December 15th the calendar item of imposition of additional tariffs and thinking, can we get them in before that? So that's certainly part of what's going on. So it gets a combination both of people pulled things forward into the July, August, September timeframe if they were able to do so. November probably reflects some of the things that are going to be inventory items for the next calendar year, as well as a combination of replenishment items for this holiday season.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Our next question will come from David Moyne, WWD.
Thanks. I think you touched on this a little bit before, but and I know you're putting out another more research on consumers, how they're spending, but I think you mentioned gift cards, electronics, toys. I'm wondering if you can give a little more color on, you know, the types of categories that might stand out this holiday season. And secondly, do you see any sense that the season getting any more stretched out than it has been getting in the past few years, you know, with earlier promotions, some business being maybe siphoned out of Black Friday and Cyber Week, Monday, whatever. Thank you.
Hey, Dave. So I'll do the second part of your question first on the sort of the elongation of the season. I think it's clearly true, and this will be you know, quantified with more specifics when we do our next consumer survey, that we will ask and measure questions like how much of your holiday shopping have you done, you know, when did you begin, how much have you completed, how much do you have remaining, and we've seen that, you know, evolve over the last, you know, 5 years, or certainly since the recession, the combination of value-conscious consumers coming out of the recession now nearly a decade ago, married with the desire of retailers to capture market share in advance and sort of migrate into the earlier months. So I think it's a combination of consumer preferences and then retailers meeting those preferences. And you have to balance that against the sort of just-in-time expectation that some consumers you know, believe that you can wait until the last minute because fulfillment and supply chain have become so sophisticated that you can, you know, put in an order on July 23rd, 24th and still have it in time for Christmas Day because of next day, same day delivery and the use of stores as fulfillment centers. So I think it's kind of getting interesting on both ends of that barbell. You're kind of going both further and later. And we see that pattern that it's very aggressive, you know, in the middle weeks of November going into the Thanksgiving holiday and then through Cyber Monday, and then there may be a lull for a weekend or two, and then it picks up again very aggressively as you get closer to the end of the holiday season. So we'll know more about that when we get the survey back. And similarly on categories, I mean, that historically, you know, I mentioned the segments, and the categories will be apparel and electronics and toys and gift cards, all very, very popular. I think those are all going to continue to show up as prominent categories. But, you know, we'll have to see what consumers tell us when we do the next survey and where we are with that.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. At this time, we have time for one more question. Our last question will come from John Mears, AFP.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my question. I just wanted to know, you guys, this is a pretty upbeat forecast about, and based on strong household incomes for many, many consumers. The last couple of days in the stock market, we've seen a pretty big sell-off, and there seems to be a growing fear that the economy is slowing down quite a bit. Do you expect that obviously all your evidence in which the data points you're collecting are different from this, but do you think this is just a sort of blip in time and that, in fact, the economy is as strong as you believe, or do you think these concerns could potentially slow the sales down quite a bit? You did say last year that when the stock market fell, that was one of the factors in why sales didn't turn out to be quite as good as you expected.
This is Jack, and I'll take a shot at it. First of all, the stock market is not the economy, and we have to recognize that the real data is showing what we've been talking about. And however, there is no doubt that the mood of consumers can consciously and unconsciously be impacted by what's been happening in the equity market and the financial markets overall. Now, we did see last December where the stock market fell off, but there was multiple activities that were influencing the state of the economy at the time, as Matt mentioned. We had the shutdown, we had the tariff, we had the Fed tightening. I think that that trifecta certainly impacted the very, very poor December results that we saw registered. And it had an impact into January and February. But there was sort of a mood. So I think that what I believe is that the wealth effect is important. It does impact a broader base of consumers and households, perhaps, than historically. And it'll depend upon sort of what your income level is, too. So, for example, if you're a younger person and you have investments, you have a longer term, you know, to recoup any kind of downshift that might happen. But an older group of, say, near retirees or retirees, they can't replenish it that fast. So sort of this impact on consumers obviously can happen. I think that as long as we see the job outlook look positive as we've expected and that wages continue to move along, unemployment stays low, I think consumers overall will see through this. A lot will depend how it gets portrayed in the marketplace. And there's been a lot of discussion about the slowdown. And, you know, I referred to it as a trade-induced slowdown. If for some reason we get some benefit of some change, I think it could certainly register itself in the stock market. I just would be I think you need to be cognizant and not to overreact. Again, it's trying to sort through what's the signal and what's the noise that's coming from the stock market relative to how consumers are going to react.
Can I just ask one follow-up on this? Yesterday, you guys mentioned the WTO process as being one that you favor in general. But the Trump administration imposed new tariffs yesterday on European goods. What was your reaction to those tariffs? Do you think they're a good idea? Are you worried that they? I mean, obviously they're not as broad based as the Chinese ones. But what does that do? Do you think?
Well, I think again, as I noted earlier, our view in general is that. The imposition of tariffs, as we've said all along, is a tax on consumers. So it's going to be paid by U.S. consumers who are purchasing any of those that come into this country. So we support the WTO as a framework and as a recognized, multinational global body. That sets the rules of the road, but we don't agree that that tariffs necessarily and logically follow from actions of the WTO or that they make sense in that context. So the ultimate impact of a tariff is the same regardless of the rationale for imposing it. And, the imposition of a tariff is a tax, and that's not good for an economy, and it's certainly not good in an environment in which we believe fundamentally that increased costs and increased taxes are not a healthy way to grow an economy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That concludes our call for today. If you have any remaining questions about the 2019 holiday forecast, please contact our press team at press@nrf.com. Or you can call 855-NRF-PRESS. Thank you, and happy holidays.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, this now concludes our conference. You may disconnect the phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.